You know, that's something that a lot of churches don't do, but here at Cowboy Church, we teach it every week. We teach about your tithe and about the offering. You see, here at Cowboy Church, our pastor Corey does not take a salary from this church so that we can teach you how to become part of God's economy and it'll come back to you. You have to understand that we're not up here ministering to you trying to get your money. No, we want you to give it to God so that it'll come back to you. You see, the Bible and what we teach here is it's based on sowing and reaping. You see, so what you sow is what comes back. Me and Dad, we're leaving. I was at his house at 6 yesterday morning. We stopped in Georgetown at McDonald's. That's one of our favorite breakfast places on the road because, well, that's the only thing at McDonald's I really care for. But we stopped and got breakfast. We pulled in there, ordered. We got up there to pay, and that lady said, "The lady in front of you just paid for y'all's breakfast." I said, "Man, thank you, Jesus." See, we do that when we're out. We go, and when we're in the drive-thru, man, we'll buy somebody's breakfast behind us, or if we're in a restaurant, we'll just say, "Hey, I want their check." You just do what God tells you to do. And man, yesterday, like I said, it was just a great day yesterday. We're going to be in 1 Kings, so y'all find 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Yeah, that was such an awesome thing because that's the principles in which we are founded on here at Cowboy Church is sowing and reaping. And that lady bought breakfast yesterday, and I wanted to get out and do a little happy dance. That made my day. Man, that's the way to start. Somebody blessing somebody else. And that's what we want you to learn when you're new here at Cowboy Church is that we want to teach you how to bless other people. So we're going to start in verse 8 in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say oh my. Oh, I got a couple of oh my's. Okay, you oh my's, we'll wait on you. Because we want you to read the word with us. We want you to see it. It's good to see it, not just to hear it, but you can read along. Verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, the Lord's talking to Elijah right here. "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Well, and first, just looking at where we're at so far, you might think, well, that was kind of selfish of Elijah to order that woman around. But what we have to remember is the Lord just told him. You see, he's being obedient to the Lord. The Lord told Elijah, go down. This woman's going to take care of you. She's going to provide for you. Verse 11, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Here again, if you're just looking at it and you're not realizing, it sounds like he's being real selfish. Woman, I'm just reading what it said. You ladies, don't. He's saying, woman, get me something to eat and drink. Okay, it's biblical. It's right there. Don't. Verse 12. "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, what she's saying is, this is all we have left. We are down to the last bit, okay? And in the Amplified, she says a few sticks, but in the Amplified, it said 2 sticks to start the fire. I don't know if that's all she had, maybe it was 2 sticks because she's out of food, you see? But let's look at what Elijah says. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." So he said that, I want you to go and make me something to eat, and then make you something for you and your son. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So you see, there's a key ingredient in what she did with her giving. She was obedient to the Lord. You see, Elijah said, the Lord sent me here, and you're going to take care of me, because that's what God said. But when you take care of me, there's good things that are going to happen. When you give, it's coming back to you. You see, when you seek God first in his righteousness, all things are added unto us, right? That's what Matthew says. So here she's obedient, and look at what happened. Her meal is to last, and her oil is to last. Amen? So we want you folks to get a hold of giving, giving, because it will come back to you in Jesus' name. With a big round of applause, y'all come give this morning in these buckets up here. If you're first-time visitors, there was a card there. If you filled it out, this is the time you could put it up in the buckets, or you can put it up in the buckets after the service this morning. Man, God's good. God is so good. Hey, we got our girls back on duty this week, and they're busy. I have to tell y'all a story real quick while they're doing this. Friday morning, I told my wife I was going to tell this story in church, and she said, oh, no. But it's true, it's about me, and it's funny. And you should always share if you can laugh at yourself. And so I'm going to tell y'all what happened Friday morning. Friday morning, my wife, Laurie, and my mom and one of the girls flew to Atlanta this weekend. We have another daughter that lives there and a grandbaby that just turned 2 years old, so they were having a party. So they were getting ready to go to Atlanta, and Friday was my run day. I work out every day. Guys, if y'all want to, you can start handing out the communion stuff. We're going to do communion but I'll tell you this while they hand it out. And I think they're tossing coins to see who goes where. So anyway, on Friday, I go for my four-mile run. I get in. Man, I'm sweating. I'm hot. And I have sunglasses that have prescription lenses. When I came in, I just took them off by the front door, went in the kitchen, and I just slid my phone on the bar. I didn't even throw it. And I walked into the laundry room, and it started making a noise. Doop, doop, doop. And I thought, what the heck is that? Well, I went back to my phone, and I noticed red on my phone. I don't have my glasses on, but I know that red means something that's not good. I start hitting the phone, trying to shut it off, and I hear, Burnett County 911, can I help you? What's your emergency? And I went, oh, no. I said, it was an accident. My phone dialed you by myself. I just laid it down, and it started calling. She goes, that's okay, sir. That's fine. She said, I just need to get a little bit of information from you. Asked you a few questions just to make sure everything's okay. I said, sure. She asked me my name. I told her. She asked me my address. I told her. Y'all have to remember now, I just got through running 4 miles. I have not calmed down yet. I'm going. The lady at the emergency place said, Mr. Bowen, I have to ask you a question. I said, okay. She said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I just got through running 4 miles, and this did this, and I don't know, and I'm sorry. And she's like, oh, no, it's no problem. Okay, and you're sure you're okay? I'm fine. So I put my phone down. I go get my glasses. I make sure everything's fine. Well, Laurie's in the bedroom getting her suitcase packed, and her phone goes off. It's an emergency deal, but it wasn't ringing. It came up on the map that I had called 911, which is really neat. We found out a lot of neat stuff. It's kind of embarrassing, but we found out some neat stuff. And it showed that I had made a 911 call from my house. And it came up on her map so she would know, because she's my emergency contact. So I think all's good and well. Well, her and Casey are getting their suitcases, and they've gone outside. And, man, I took my shirt off. I still had my running shorts on and my tennis shoes. And I was slathered up my face, and I'd started shaving. And Laurie walks to the door of the bedroom. She can see in the bathroom. She tapped on the door, and she goes, "Ricky, you need to come here." I went, "Oh, geez. I didn't like that tone. That scared me." So here I am, no shirt, dripping wet, half a face shaved. I walk in, and there stands the lady policeman. I went, "Hi." And I'm going, she goes, "Did you make a 911 call?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." But I didn't do it. My phone did it. And I said, I told him I was sorry. And she goes, "That's fine." Now, y'all listen to this. And she goes, "We have to do this because we got to go and make sure everybody's okay. We don't want to wind up like an episode of Live PD. Guess what was on my TV where she was standing by? Live PD. I turned it on when I came in the house. Now, and she kept looking around, and she goes, "Are you sure you're okay?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, we are. We appreciate you. We pray for y'all." Man, she was real thankful. And she left. Well, I didn't know everything until yesterday when I talked to Laurie, and we were laughing about this, and I told her I was going to tell y'all. And she said, "Well, when she drove up, I was putting suitcases in the car, and I have a feeling she thought I was leaving, and you were upset." So anyway, I made y'all laugh. You're smiling. That's awesome. Hey, that's a true story, too. I'm telling y'all. I'm not sure. I think Laurie probably wished you'd have had a picture of my face when I walked around that corner and saw that lady policewoman standing there and me, and, you know, I wasn't half naked, but I felt that way. I felt real funny standing there in front of her. All right. Well, I know you may not follow along in your Bible, but we're going to be in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11. You know, last time I did communion, I did some research, because we know that with this, we're in remembrance of Jesus. The bread represents the body that was beaten. His side was punctured. The horrible, horrible things he went through for me, for y'all. You see, but what my research came up with is, not only is it a remembrance, but it's a celebration. Y'all remember that we talked about, that communion is a time of celebrating Jesus Christ and the things that he did for us, that he gave his body, that his life. My gosh, when you stop and think about that, y'all. So as I was planning today and studying, the Holy Spirit really pushed me to study even more and do something that I had never really looked into. You see, what does communion mean? I thought I knew, but what does the word communion actually mean? It comes from the translation of the Greek word for sharing. It comes from the translation of the Greek word for sharing. Now, in Corinthians, Paul was talking to the church, and Paul was not happy, because he was talking, there was people that were rich in the church and poor in the church, and they were wanting to be separated. You see, right before the communion that they're fixing to have, that they were separated and divided. But you see, what it means is sharing as one. Sharing as one body of Christ. You see, that's what you do, and that's what they did when they broke bread, is they shared that piece of bread. That's the key, y'all, is shared that piece of bread. One body, one Christ, Jesus Christ. You see, I thought that was so interesting, that communion is sharing. You see, it's a celebration of Jesus Christ. It's a remembrance of Jesus Christ. It's a sharing, us coming together as one body. You see, Laurie and I, we take communion at home, and it's she and I coming together. in agreement for something when we take communion. Also, the other thing, when we take communion, it's not just a ritual, it's not a tradition. What we need to learn to do that when we take communion and we remember and we celebrate, we need to do self-examination, y'all. This is time to look at ourselves and go, man, thank you, Father, for what you've done for me, that you gave your son to die for me. Man, we've got to look inward, y'all. We've got to look inward, and that's what this reminds us of. Verse 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Y'all eat. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in the remembrance of me. Y'all drink. Father, we thank you today for sending your son to die for us. Father, that he took on everything, illness, disease. Father, that he died for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, right now we're going to dismiss the kiddos and the youth today. So with a big round of applause while they pick up your stuff, kids and youth are dismissed. Man, happens twice. This is the second time. Yeah. Ted, would you get me a drink of water or somebody, please? A cup of water? I forgot to bring a cup. They get right there, don't they? Yeah. Ooh. Glory. Man, I've had a great week. Like I said, it was a crazy Friday. Laurie and I were laughing, and Casey, thank you, sir. Thank you, Lance. Hey, y'all give Lance a hand for the way my Friday started, and I thought, ooh, geez, because that stuff usually happens to my wife. I'm telling y'all, I've seen, being married to her for as long as we've been married, I've seen some of the funniest things happen to her, but she just goes with it. And then that happened to me. But you got to laugh. I mean, you can't make that up. I mean, who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? Ooh, thank you, Father. Thank you. You know, there's a lots and lots of things going on right now in the world. And Dad and I think we tried to solve them all yesterday driving to Fort Worth and back. You know, and not sure we did. We had some good ideas, but, you know, roping and tying and dragging people that I think are against the law still, so I'm kidding. We didn't say that. But, you know, it really messes with us as believers. You know, if you allow it to get to you, it can really mess you up. I saw a guy on, I don't know, it was Thursday or Friday, and it was a pastor. I don't even remember his name. But he was talking about people making excuses and complaining. He was talking about, and I put it on my Facebook page. I'm giving him credit. I don't know his name, though. But it's from Life Church. But he was awesome. I loved it. Because he was talking about, and there again, I'm just telling you what he said. So y'all don't throw things. But he said, you know, you hear people say, oh, my kids, my wife did this, my dog did this, you know. My friend, he's a bum. He's, you know, borrowed money and won't pay it back. Wham, wham, my, you know, this, that, my boss, my job, my whatever has done this. And we complain. But what's happened is it's not your kids. It's not your wife. It's not your boss. It's not your job. It's not the economy. It's not the president. It's not the government. It's you. You see, it's Satan causing in the head to start dwelling on that stuff, and you start taking away from the goodness of God. You allow the devil to manipulate this, and it distracts you from the goodness, the blessings of what God has done for us in our life. Amen? He even repeated it. I'm not going to repeat it, but I loved it. You know what? Because it happens to all of us. If we allow ourselves to get so caught up in what's going on, just like some of the stuff that we've seen going on this week. Man, I didn't watch it because I knew what had happened if I did. You see, if I watch that stuff, we open that door for Satan to get a hold of our heads and start messing with us. Amen? You see, you give him rein when you start watching that stuff and allowing. You've got to learn to start praying it away. Amen? So, the name of my sermon this morning is No More Excuses. No more excuses. I made a list of some excuses that I have used before. I probably used that, well, not all of them, but there's most of them I've used at one time or another. And I'm sure that some of y'all will find out, probably most of y'all will say, I've used that very excuse myself. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the excuse, but then we're going to look, what God say about that excuse? You see, number one, if you're taking notes, I've heard myself say this before in years past. It's impossible. It's impossible. Whatever is going, that's impossible. I've seen parents tell their little 2-year-old kid that just climbed a 10-foot tree going, well, that's impossible. Not that kid didn't know that. You see, that's the key, is that kid did not know that. Y'all turn to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to show you what God says about it's impossible. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Verse 27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. There it is, right there. You see, as humans, we can't do stuff. It's impossible for us to do stuff. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. So next time that you come up to one of those situations, you don't go, oh, wait a minute, it is possible. Because in Luke it says, it's possible with God. Amen? That's right. And it says that in Mark, it says, all things are possible to those who believe. You see, so that comes into when Satan has started manipulating this and our believing is getting a little weak. But you have to remember what God's done for us, what he's brought us out of. Because with him, it is possible, you see. Excuse number two. Now, a lot of these excuses that people make are similar. The second one is, I can't do it. I can't do it. Now, we all know this next verse. Y'all, Philippians 4:13. But I want y'all to hear something. Man, this pumped me up last night when I was studying. Now, the verse in the King James says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Right? That's what it says. I read the Amplified last night, and I want y'all to listen to this. If you don't have the Amplified, if you do, read along. Verse 13 says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. You underline that word empowers if you're willing to write in your Bible. Because that's what he does for me. He empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him. Not me, but I am through him, you see. Who infuses. Oh, I love this. This struck home. He infuses inner strength into me. Now, one thing that I did was I looked up that word infuse. Now, there's all kinds of definitions for infuse. I mean, like, if you're sick and you go to the hospital, you get an infusion. You know, they give you an infusion of medicine or blood, you know. But infused means to introduce, but I like this one, introduce as if by pouring. You see, that's like bathing ourselves in Jesus Christ. That's getting the inner strength of Jesus Christ. It's being poured into us. Wow. You see, he's being poured into us for when things that I say I can't do, but I can do all things through him, you see. Let's finish that. I am self-sufficient. Now, wait a minute. If we just stopped right there reading, and you know how some people just quit reading, they'd say, but wait a minute, you just said that you could do all things through Christ, that you're not self-sufficient. It says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You see, I'm only self-sufficient because it's through Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, somebody ought to be excited. My goodness. Number three. Now, this is similar to number two. It says, I can't do it anymore. It's not that I just can't do it, but whatever you're going through, you say, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I just can't. So go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, no, I'm sorry, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read, start in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He's talking about the thorn that he's gotten in his side. Paul has. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Did y'all hear that? His grace is made in weakness. Is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And I'm going to stop right here and tell y'all, I don't know if I've ever really told anybody since we've been moved down about this, what I'm fixing to tell you. But the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me with this for a couple of weeks, and I don't know if somebody's dealing with this, but this is a time that I'm going to tell you because I've been where I can't do it anymore. Back in the late 80s, I was on the road playing music. And we got through one night. We were in Coleman, Texas. We got through, and I used to chew tobacco. I put me a big old chaw in there. I got in the van. I was ready to go. And it felt like my throat was swelling shut. Well, if you've ever experienced the feeling, it will scare you. So I threw that chewing tobacco out. I thought, well, maybe that's what it was. So we started going, and we always stopped at Allsup's. 2 a.m, got to have a fried burrito on the way home. And I couldn't escape that feeling. It was scaring me bad. So they called the ambulance. And the ambulance came. Well, of course, we wound up, we were in Bront. I think we wound up stopping in Bront or somewhere. We were on our way back to Big Spring. And they told me the only thing they would do is just take me back to San Angelo. I'm like, no, no, no. I'm going home. I want to go home. I need to go. So we go home. I'm going to tell y'all something. I've never been that scared in my life. And that started on a Saturday night. The next week, it didn't go anywhere. It kept getting worse. I kept feeling like I couldn't swallow. Now, understand, at the time, I'd been saved, but I wasn't in the Word, but I was a believer. Man, but I don't know what's going on. You know, I didn't know about tapping into the power of healing yet. I start going to the doctor. Folks, they did things to me that should be against the law. I kid you not. I swallowed some stuff one day that must have been like DAP. And I was having trouble swallowing, and they're trying to make me swallow this stuff. I'd leave the house to go to work. I'd get to the interstate. I lived in Odessa, and it was about 5 or 10 miles to the interstate. I'd get to the interstate, and I'd have to turn around and go home. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go catch the bus. I was literally tore up. I'd drive straight from there and go straight to the doctor. And they'd think I'm having an allergic reaction. So here's what they did. When you have an allergic reaction, they give you epinephrine. I did not need a shot of adrenaline, okay? But they did. Okay, well then in a little while they come in and I'm hanging from the ceiling in there. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, we shouldn't have done that here. Then they gave me Valium right in the vein. I woke up 2 days later. I'm telling y'all, it is the worst thing I have ever been through. They ran every kind of test imaginable, x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, and you know what they said? Nothing. I'm like, y'all, I'm telling you, there's something. You can't. So this goes on for a month. I've gone from about 190 pounds to 140 pounds in 1 month. Then those people that know me, and I would go see them, it was during when the AIDS epidemic was really bad. You'd go see them and they go, do you have AIDS? Oh, well, and it's just what I told you. It's opening that mind up. They just suggest it, and the devil goes, ooh, I bet you do. Oh, my Lord. Y'all, I'm telling you, I don't know who has panic attacks, but boy, I can tell you what, that devil can make them real. That devil can make them real. The only safe place I had when it happened was I'd go home, run a hot bath, and I'd put water up to here and lay in the bath. It's the worst thing I've ever been through. You see, I couldn't do it anymore. And one day, I started, it's time to go to work again. Dadgummit, you know. And I started driving. And I got to the interstate, and here it come. Here it come. I pulled off the road, and I said, God, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. If it's my time, then so be it. Because I can't do it. I can't. God said, I got it. I got it. And from that point forward, it started healing itself. God healed me, you see. And there's times even now after, that was in the late 80s. But you see, now there's times when things get pressured up and I'll have a hint of that. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't, devil. You get under my feet. You see, you have to speak to that. And the problem was, I was doing, and if you are going through this, quit. Say, I can't do it anymore. You should never try to do it. You see, that's when you say, but God can do it. God can do it, and he did. I'm walking proof of it. I don't have to fight those things anymore, you see. Amen? Amen. I don't know why the Holy Spirit's been after me for 2 weeks, but I did it. Number four, excuse four. And this one goes along with I can't do it and I can't do it anymore. And it says, I'm tired. I am tired. I'm too tired. And that can mean a lot of things for a lot of people. It can mean that I am physically too tired to go on. It can mean, like I've heard people say, I'm sick and tired. I never understood that, though. I'm sick and tired of you doing that, or what? I never understood the sick and tired, but I am too tired, period. So let's look at Matthew real fast. I'm just getting warmed up, y'all. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. And it says, this is Jesus speaking, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, that month I went through that, I'd have loved to have had that scripture, you know? But I wasn't in the Word, you see? When we get in the Word, these excuses go away. You have the answer from God that every excuse you have, He's got an answer for. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. I'm going to spend a few minutes right here on this excuse. First Kings 19. Being tired is no more than physical evidence of a struggle. When we start getting worn down, it's because we're struggling with, we're fighting something, you know? It might be that you're fighting working 70 hours a week. But that's what it all starts affecting our physical, and we're tired. We're going to be in chapter 19, but I'm going to back up in 18 because Elijah was a man of God. He was a prophet, and in 18, he had been with Ahab and Jezebel. I like that name, Jezebel. Ain't that something? That's always, you know, that's, we know where that came from, don't we, the saying that they have? But we won't go there. Anyway, but Elijah was on the cloud nine in chapter 18. He had just got through whooping 450 prophets of Baal. And that's who Jezebel worshiped. He was so pumped up at the end of chapter 18, it says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Well, what I researched right there and found out is that he run afoot. Ahab was in a chariot. And it was 25 miles from where they were at to where they wound up. That's fired up right there now, isn't it? Yeah, Elijah outrun that chariot 25 miles. So if you go back and read later, chapter 18, you'll see what went on in chapter 18. I'm just giving you that so you can see where we're going in chapter 19. So Elijah was pumped up at the end of that, man, on top of the world. Verse 19, chapter 19 starts, and it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. So it's evident that Jezebel wasn't there when this all went down in chapter 18. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. So you see, And you can probably take into consideration that Ahab, he's kind of probably changing the story some. You see, because she wasn't there, and Elijah, he opened up and he took care of him. So verse 2 says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So what that's saying right there is that she sent message to Elijah saying, I put a hit on you. You're out. You see, from what Ahab told her, and that's who she worshiped, she's mad. And she said, I've called the mafia. We put a hitman out for you, Elijah. So let's watch the next verse. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judea, and left his servant there. Well, he left because he was afraid, right? So is this not like us today? The things that you go through in life? One minute, man, you're up here and on top of the world and you're fired up taking everybody on. And then all of a sudden something happens and, oh no, he took off running. What do you do? What do you do? Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, that take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Now, in verse 3, where it said he went and came to Beersheba, that's 80 miles approximately, okay? So he went 80 miles, and then he left his servant there, and then he went another day into the wilderness. I mean, this, and then before that, he'd run 25 miles. He's scared. He's afraid. He's tired. And there he said, let me die. I don't know if we've all been there. And like I told y'all what happened to me, I was tired. I've done. Can't do it no more. It's on you. It's all yours, God. That's when things started happening. You see? But even men, godly men of the Bible, would get tired and they would get worn down. Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now, this is interesting because God didn't send somebody and say, dadgummit, get up and quit acting like a baby. You know, we've had people tell us that. You know, God sent an angel to feed him. He was tired, he was weak, he was hungry, and he had given up. But instead of God fussing at him, God sent an angel, and he said, arise, you need to eat. You need to eat. God right here is loving on him. You see? God knows that Elijah's not one that needs to have a quick kick in the seat of the pants. Elijah's needing some love right now. Verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat, and he drank, and laid down again. I mean, this guy's tired. You know, because if you add it up, he's been well over 100, you know, just the physical miles, over 100 miles. We're not counting the day into the wilderness. Plus all the emotion and stress that he's dealt with from her putting the hit out on him. He's letting this tear him up. And he said, I'm done. But God just sends his angel and feeds him. He said, you're all right. You need to eat. You need to eat. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The journey is too great. So right here, as far as we know right now, I mean, Elijah doesn't see it yet, but God's got plans for him. It tells right there, you're too weak for the journey. Here's some more food. You see, God's loving on him. God's massaging him and going, come on, Elijah, get some strength back. Come on, you can do this. You can do this. Eat. You need strength because you don't know, but I got plans for you. You see, that's what God's telling us. When we get like this and we're done and we don't want to do it no more and we're too tired, God's not done with you yet. God's saying, it's okay. It's okay. Rest. We're going to build you up. We're going to fire you up. And then I'm going to give you your assignment again. Verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. See that built up. He went 40 days and 40 nights on what he ate twice. That's what you want. That, and not only did he get the meat of that food, you see, but it's also showing you the meat that he got from God. That loving, that mercy, that grace that says, come on, Elijah, you can do it. You can do it. Flip over to verse 15. In verse 15 it says, and the Lord said unto him, go. Wait a minute. No. Let's back up. Let's start in verse 9. And he came thither unto, thither? That's hard for me to say, y'all. I'm sorry, but them, thither? And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. So you see, he's been built up. God's built him up. Took him 40 days, 40 nights. Now God's ready to talk to him. And he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. So not only is he feeling, had felt down and out, he also feels alone. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Stop right there, because when he's not, if you can see, he ministers to us all differently. Because like Moses, he did big things for Moses. But here it says, brought an earthquake, but God wasn't there. Brought a fire, God wasn't there. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Whew, thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we look for those big things from God because we just get so down and we forget the goodness of God. The time when, no, you don't need to see something big. God just needs to love on you. But sometimes we block ourselves from God loving on us. You know? We shut that door because we think we're so tired and we tried to do it all by ourselves for so long and we didn't say, I've had enough. I'm tired, God. It's your turn. Just like Elijah. He's not doing anything big. He's just loving on Elijah. Man, we need that sometime. Yeah, we need a kick in the seat of the pants every once in a while. Get us fired up. But sometime, isn't it great to just crawl up in the arms of God and just let him love on you? Man, there ain't nothing like it. What an experience. God, I just need your love. I don't need anything. Yes, I'm at the bottom, but I know with you all things are possible to those who believe. I just need to feel your love. And that's what he was doing to Elijah, y'all. He was loving on Elijah. 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering end of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Here's Elijah. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and thy seek my life to take it away. They're looking to kill me, God." Watch what God says. Because he's got Elijah built up now. He's fed him. He's loved on him. He's fed him. He's loved on him. Verse 15. "And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." Oh, what's he doing? He's giving his assignment. You see, Elijah didn't see it coming, because all Elijah could see is what he was doing. But God built him up. And now he's given his assignments. Verse 16, "And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of..." Okay. If I'd have known I was going to read this verse, I'd have practiced it. "Abel-Malah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room, and it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel." Oh, he's not alone, y'all. He's not alone. "And every mouth which hath not kissed him." When you're too tired, you have to let God have control. This one may be one of those we finish later, because I still got quite a few more excuses. Well, I don't, but I have them written down here, so. And what God says about them. Y'all, listen. We run that race every single day. But the God, our God, the most loving God, wants you. He wants that relationship with you. He wants to put his arms around you and say, "I got this. I got this." You see, you don't have to anymore. "I got this. It's mine." That's what he sent Jesus for, y'all. That's what he sent Jesus for. To take all of your burdens, all of your sickness, all of your brokenness, all of your financial brokenness, everything. That's what Jesus came for. He came to take it from you. Why don't you let go of it? Amen. Have y'all had a good time this morning? You enjoyed the word? Amen. And next time, we'll finish the list. Right now, we would never do a service here at Williamson County Cowboy Church without giving somebody the opportunity to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that junk. The tiredness, the burden, the junk, the gunk, the funk that we get into, you see. That's what God sent his only son for us. That we don't have to do it anymore. We don't have to be tired like that. Man, y'all get a hold of that. Man, the Holy Spirit just crawls down my arms when I think of the not having to fight the tired, not have to fight the checkbook, not have to fight that disease. That's what Jesus came for, y'all. That's what he came for, so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, man, I beg you today to be that day. There's no better day, no better time than right now. Come to know the Lord that we know. The Lord that loves you. The Lord that gave us Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Saved from what? Going to hell, because that's a real place. And you don't have to have hell on earth either. We see it every day, y'all. But right now, I ask you to accept Jesus as your Savior. We're not going to ask you to come to the front, embarrass you. No, right where you sit, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to say a prayer, and we're going to ask you to say it with us. And we're going to say it out loud. And all the believers are going to say it with us. We want you to accept Jesus Christ today. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all the believers with us, I want you to say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and he rose from the dead. Forgive me of my sins, Father. I thank you, Father, that today is my God day. Thank you for loving me, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if this is the first time that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you said that prayer this morning, on the count of three, I just want you to slip your hand up, put it right back down, because the Word says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before the Father. Don't ever be afraid to confess Jesus Christ to man. So right now, on the count of three, I want you to be bold and get that hand up. We're going to give you a Bible, and there's a card in that Bible. If you just fill it out, put it in the bucket before you leave in just a minute. We'd love to just visit with you for a minute. But right now, on the count of three, if this is the first time, be bold. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody? We'll give you just a sec. Be bold. All right, everybody look up. So that means we're all believers. We're all going to heaven. So our job is to get out and spread the word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Howdy.